fold mess and just a five fold mess. Well, you know what? It's like me and Dad were talking about. The reason they can't explain the real new birth, they never received it. They just received an emotion or a sensation or a warm feeling or a, I'm in the message. Hey, listen, I've told you many times before. I've told you many times before. When I was 14 years old, I knew the doctrines of this message. You can read the Bible with, take Brother Brown, what he said, the knowledge, human knowledge, not this knowledge. You can take human knowledge and you can read that Bible that says a woman's not supposed to put on a pair of pants. It don't take the Holy Ghost to quicken that to you. Now, it takes the Holy Ghost to make you live it. But you can read it in the Bible. That's what I said. Brother Brown didn't come to bring us all this mysterious stuff. He restored back what was already in the Bible, brought more light on it, though, to bring us to divine love. Because you got to come here before you get a body change. If you don't, you're gonna. That's why people's died down through the ages. That's why people are still dying now. They can't come to a place of divine love or the headstone. So let's start right here, and that's not the right one. A little bit further. All right, look. Let's read this right here, paragraph 327. All right, let's get on to this. He's talking about the capstone. It never was put on top of the pyramid. They couldn't understand why. The capping stone was rejected. The head, Christ, but it will come someday. So now, the headstone, when Jesus was here, this was the complete headstone. Jesus was the headstone. All right? So you can see this pyramid was walking on earth at one time in Jesus Christ. Right? Because he was the headstone. But when they rejected him, it cut off the ability for man to come to the place to where Jesus was. That's why Brother Branham had to bring the ministry of Jesus Christ back to its pure form first. See, to be honest with you, we should come to right here and not even have to listen to the prophet. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Brother Branham came. You listen to what I'm saying? What I'm saying is you should be able to read the Bible and through a fivefold ministry, never mention Brother Branham's name, and bring a people to right here because they did it in the first church age. Is that better way to understand it? You could take the Bible without saying Brother Branham said. Now remember we did that about 2 or 3 years ago. Remember we took the major doctrines down here in Sunday school class, and we proved them and never said a word about William Branham. See, now that way you can take it to the world, because if you come up to somebody in the world and you say, well, why do you dress the way you do? Well, Brother Branham said. I don't care what Brother Branham said. Show me the Bible. Show me the Scripture. So the Scripture should have took us to here. Without the prophet's message. That's what I'm saying. This is not new in that it's something come, you know, they said, Brother Branham, this is something not in the Bible. He said, no. Even the headstone. The headstone is the Bible. But it's all in the Scriptures. But it took a prophet to bring these things to light, to bring a group of people together, and like Brother Key said, for preparation. It was to prepare a group of people. But now, it wasn't just to prepare a group of people to take a body change. He had to prepare a group of people to come to here to be able that when the headstone comes. Now, remember, I want to show you something real quick right here. Yes. All right, look right here. If you take this right here and you push it down, it's not going to fit. I mean, I can't draw it on here, but it's going to be like about right there. So it's not that Christ is, look, it's not that Christ is bringing the headstone down so much as like we see it coming down. It is come. Christ is here. But we have to fill it in. That's what me and Daddy was talking about this weekend. You got to fill it in with this. That's why that's there. That's why that Holy Spirit's there. Because when you do, it fills in the lines and makes a complete. See? But if you take this and set it down here, you got a gap. Won't fit. So you got to have the refilling of this Holy Spirit. That's why Brother Bram put that in there. Because it's a refilling of the Holy Spirit to mold this together and mold these sides together to fill all this up, to fill this gap up. Not that this is coming down and sitting on top. Did everybody see what I'm talking about? Because if you took this little pyramid and just set it straight down, it wouldn't fit. That's why Brother Bram says building up. You don't start from the top and build a building. Start from the bottom. You build the building up from the bottom to the top. So that's why you start with the new birth, faith, the Holy Spirit. Then you add these virtues, and then this, what Brother Bram said, this seals it in. Okay? How do you know? We're going to talk about this maybe later in the year, about, because we may not get to, by Christmas, we may not get to all of it. But what this actually is. Okay? This is being born again. Peter said, he knew that this had to be a birth, 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 and this had to be a birth. Okay? Not that this is a new birth. No. No, it's the same Holy Spirit. It's just he's able to work more through you than he was down here. Romans 8:28, you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Daddy, Daddy. You're not crying Daddy, Daddy up here. If you're still crying Daddy, Daddy, you're down here. Right? That's why it says you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Then you come up. See, I was born a Dale, like I said before. But until I got about, 12, 13, 14 years old, I didn't really realize the family, what was going on in the family, and how special the family was, and it made me apart from others. See, that's the same growth development that God has. Listen, if the most illiterate person can come to here, which Peter was, you couldn't even write his name, it's got to be so simple that somebody that can't even write their name can get to this spot right here. Peter was there, right? I mean, he couldn't even sign his name. He was illiterate. Didn't go to school nowhere. But he came to right here by what? By letting this live in his life. Letting this. And you know one thing for sure. Peter had a problem with that right there. Peter had a temper. Yeah, very much. Very much. Because he's ready to cut ears off. Peter was. He's ready to go for it, But I like Peter. Peter was, he was bold. And he said, you got to have these. There's no option. You got to have them. Because if these things be in you and abound, Scripture says, they make you. In other words, they're going to make you. If you come to right here, you're not living. You're dead. Christ is living. Okay? Because the brotherly kindness that you once didn't have in your human nature, you would have never got better. Right? You'd have never developed anything humanly better because when I see I have a problem with brotherly kindness, I know what that problem is. I know what that problem is. But until I get rid of that, God can't work with me. But when he does, see, I know that it's not me doing it. Well, I'd strangle every preacher I see. Well, most everyone. The one sitting in this room, I wouldn't. But outside the building, probably. And really, I would. I'd strangle them because it's their problem. Yeah, both of them. I said both of them. Yeah. I'm just that way. But you got to see brotherly kindness. And when I see it, I'll know that God did it to me. I'll know that I didn't do it myself. Okay, I know because Brother Brown said, he said, it's not what you overcome, it's how you overcome it. He didn't preach what you overcome, he preached how can I overcome. All right, so it's not, and I got to overcome that, and I have to overcome it by Christ, because see, we limit this guy right here. we limit this man right here. Brother Brown said he's a very timid person. Right? Didn't he say that? He's a gentleman. If you don't want him to go through that door, though you have the Holy Ghost, though God's working in your life in different things, if you got a door right here and you say, look, I can't tolerate preachers. I'm just not going to tolerate them. You know what? I'll not ever be able to tolerate them, and I'll never go past that. Right? Because I don't let him in the door. So that's what this is. This here, this is baby form faith. This is the Holy Ghost. God gives you the new birth. He births you into the kingdom. You're a son and daughter of God. But right here, this is the same Holy Spirit, but he expects more right here than he does right here. That's correct. He's right here. He's at the point to where he's going to let these virtues work out through you. And like I said about Adam, God didn't question Adam about naming the animals. God didn't question Adam about moving a tree. He had full control. Right? But God knew that Adam had the mind of God, and he could, if Adam said elephant, that's an elephant for eternity. Me and you might come down here and say something different, right? Not able to handle the Word of God. But once we get right here, that's a place to where we come to that Holy Spirit, and we'll read it here in a minute. Let's read on right here. We'll read this right here, paragraph 329. Right in here. He's right here. Because he says, I got in between all these works in here, and here these little waves come. And I told you I'm going to try to find that original drawing, and it does. It has waves going down like this. Okay, I've only seen it one time. My daddy may have it somewhere too. Here these little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, see, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Welding this together. Right? Building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. What's it been done again? It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church age messages. Started back here. Where was the church first founded? Where was the Pentecostal church first founded? Down here. By Paul. Then he goes through all that, and you can read all those. Paragraph 338, let's read that one. Here we are, seven church ages, seven steps. God building his church is like one person into an individual, into himself. The glory, the power of God coming down through this, welding it together. So see, here's the head's the one that controls the body, right? Now what we've done, through our traditions, through our unbelief, through our iniquity, through our wrong that we do, we've separated that. Because every nerve that goes here has got to go through here to get to here. Right? Everybody can see that with just a regular human body. The head can control everything, but if it's severed, or if it's, you know, you bump that spinal cord, it doesn't matter what this up here tells it to do. It's not going to go out through here. So right in here, though, if you got everything perfect together, then see my hand moves. My hand moves because I want to make a point. Well, the point was up here first. Right? The firing mechanism, the receptors are up here saying, point your finger. Because you're going to make a point. All right? But right in here is where, this is where we got to, it's got to come together. It's got to mold it. Watch what he says right here. Welding it together. Therefore, the Pentecostal people that let out the Lutherans, let out the Wesleyans and things, doesn't know what they're talking about. You see, they lived in this part of the temple. That's the way some people can come up this high and drop off. But there's a genuine part of that keeps making that building come on. I will restore, saith the Lord. You remember the bride tree? You remember the sermon on the bride tree? They eat it down, but he pruned it. They got denominational branches. He pruned them off. They raised up another church, denominational branches, he pruned it off. But the heart of that tree kept growing. And in the evening time it shall be light. That's when come Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church then, and he will resurrect this church, being his own body, in there is the body. I believe he's talking about in there. Now look, and the way God is expecting us as an individual to grow, the way he has brought his church in to grow. Every church age, it becomes one big church, see? Because remember, all these church ages have characteristics, right? Remember, go back to the church ages, read the church age book. Every one of them has a different characteristic, all right? These fellows wasn't required what these fellows are. This wasn't required what this was. He's talking about the church ages, all right? He brought his church up the same way he brings his people up. And Peter here says, first, seven things, faith, virtue, see, coming up, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love. Add brotherly kindness, and then the love of God. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes upon you. See, he's already come in you down here. See, that's what happened at the River Jordan, right? The Holy Ghost didn't come in Jesus. His spirit was the Holy Spirit. His soul was the soul of God. He didn't become Jesus on the River Jordan. See, that's where everybody preaches the same thing like that too. That I don't have any patience for that one. But remember, the dove comes down on Jesus. It's an anointing for his ministry. See, that same ministry has got to come back in the end time and come on a group of people to anoint us to get us out of here. Amen? That's right. That's right there. That's right there. All right? That's what I want to talk about here. Hang on a minute. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost. See, that's where a lot of people, like Brother Luis said, that's where a lot of people says, oh, right there, it's where you got to receive, you get the Holy Ghost here, because that's what Brother Branham said. He didn't say in you. He says upon you. You get it here in you. You receive the new birth in your soul, right here. All right? But this is anointing on everything that's been sealed in. It's an anointing on that, okay? Upon you. In the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean you receive a false one and then you get a true one up here. Because if you'll go back to the church age book, Brother Branham speaks of Revelation 3:14, where Jesus is the faithful and true witness. Not that he was false and then he become true. It means that's the purity. That's the purity of everything. When you come to right here, let me tell you something. You're firing on all cylinders. Just for an analogy there, You're not missing anywhere. You're not spark knocking. You're hitting on all cylinders when you're right here. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You'll make mistakes right here. Because we still have this thing right here. The Adamic nature that we were born with, sure, our old nature died to become born again. But you still have memory, reason, conscious affection, and imagination. That's why you were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and you can't get away from that. This was brought by sin. This was not brought the way it should have been brought. But because of the Holy Ghost inside of me, it's turning it and working back out, and it's going to make this thing new. Okay? It's going to make this thing new. All right? So that's what that is. Now watch, let me show you right here. In the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you get all these virtues sealed in you. See, that's a quote a lot of them use. They say, oh, you got to come up here and then God seals the virtues in you. No, you get all these virtues, and what God's doing is he's making sure, because it's him in control, not you, he's making sure that you know that these things are working in your life. Not him. Listen, remember, this is not for God. God knew this when he said, let there be light. So he didn't develop anything new. He's not going, well, I hope they'll make it. No, he knows whether you're going to make it or not. So if you come here and he shows you that he sealed them in, then, man, you ought to be the happiest person in the world because you got all these things sealed in you. Then, vulcanized, yes. That's the vulcanization after the new birth because you have to have, see, thank you. That's a good point. You get vulcanized. His soul comes to your soul at the new birth, and you're vulcanized together. Never can you not be a son of God anymore. Everybody understand that? Say amen. Right? Can't be lost. Can't God give you something and take it away from you? But now, you have human virtue over here. There's some people that you just like to be around. They have virtue. They things proceed forth from them, and they're not even born again. But now take the Holy Ghost and vulcanize that virtue you have with His virtue. See? That's a good point. Thank you. You brought that out well. Because really, that you say you get vulcanized here and here, but each one of these, you've got human knowledge, right? That's just like I said, when I was 14 years old, I knew that the prophet of God was right. I knew that you wasn't supposed to do this, you weren't supposed to do that. Hell wasn't eternal, and what happened in the garden was what happened in the garden. I knew that by my human knowledge. So God takes that human knowledge, takes His knowledge, this is His knowledge, not yours. Because look, these are not things that just come from outer space and come into you. Every human has a piece of this. Brother Bram already said that. There's people that get along with everybody. That's humanly brotherly kindness. But when you take God's brotherly kindness and you vulcanize them together. So you have a vulcan, you have a vulcanization all the way up through here. Right? Temperance. Now, Brother Bram said how to control your temper. He didn't say how to get rid of it. Because you're human. In your brain, you're going to get mad at somebody. Are we all there? Yeah, okay. See there? You're always going to have that thought of, but what happens? Instead of fulfilling it like we used to, it stops. And you say, God, forgive them. Well, who's that? Is that yours? Is that your temperance? That's God's temperance has overcome your temperance. Vulcanize it together to where it becomes God's temperance. Okay? Not yours anymore, but God's. Same way with patience. You know what? They, some people, that have a form of godliness. Right? You see some saintly people walking down the road, and they look, you know, look well. But, you know, they, if they're not born again, they're dead. So, Joe. Took it out of him because remember he became the meekest man on the face of the earth. That's correct. That's what I mean. He still had his human temperance. You're going to always have temperance. Listen, everybody be honest with themselves. There's not 6 months between now and, between now and 6 minutes ago, you become mad at somebody. Your temperance was tested sometime. I don't care if it was from your wife or from your children, your temperance got tested. But the temperance that you had has been overshadowed or vulcanized by Jesus Christ in His temperance. Now, in His temperance, He drove some people out of a temple. So let's don't, you know, and Frida, that's good. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you said that. Because some people think that you're going to, and you will be a walking, breathing instrumentality of God, but you're still going to be a human. You can't stop the thoughts. You can't stop the, I sure would like to smack them people. But that's the old nature that we're born in. This is the world that we're born in. The reason Jesus could control His better than we do is because He wasn't born of this world. He had no nature from His mama and daddy to have to deal with. His nature comes straight from God. Everybody all right with that? Because His nature was not of this world. His nature come from the Almighty. He didn't have a daddy's nature of being calm and a mama's nature of being, or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? He had no genetic makeup of anybody on the earth to say, well, my mama had a temper. No. He comes straight from God. That's why He's the example. That's why He's the head. And we got to look back at what He done and say, okay, if He's living in me, I got to act just like Him. Right? And to me, that's very simple. If we're not acting like Him, maybe we don't have Him in us. Well, you got to go by what Brother Bram said, though. Brother Bram said it's how to control your ungodly temper. That's what he said for temperance was. So... And God uses these. Listen. Let me see if I can word this right. God uses... All right, let's go with Peter. Peter cut off a guy's ear. Remember when he was with Jesus in the garden, and they come to get him, and boy, he pulls a sword out, you know, whacks the guy's ear off. All right? Well, now, I believe God used that same, not that same act, but on the day of Pentecost, he brought Peter and said, okay, Peter, now you got the Holy Ghost, which he did on the day of Pentecost. Now, you go out there and tell him what they're supposed to do, and don't soft soap it. So he used Peter's virtue, because that was Peter standing up, right? Peter stood up and spoke to him. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. He didn't soft soap it. He didn't say, well, some of you can do this and some of you. No, he used Peter's strength. And same way with all of us. We've all got, it's like Daddy said last night, preachers should never try to emulate other preachers. And we see them, they do that a lot. But you shouldn't do that. You should have your own style. And you know, I did. I always thought, man, I wish I could preach like Homer Longoria. Well, I don't either now. I really don't. But I always thought, you know, and you emulate somebody and you say, well, I wish I could preach like Donnie Reagan. No, I really don't. I don't want nobody to identify me, not just because Donnie's wrong or anything. I just don't want to be, we in our circles of message believers, in our preaching realms, we do call each other different names because they have the same style. One brother preaches like Donnie Reagan, so we call him Donnie Reagan Jr. But you need to have your own style. Peter had his own style. And I believe that's why God had him be the spokesman. Because James and John and none of them were. Peter's the first one walked out the door. Peter said, I'm going to get this to the people. Because, in other words, his virtue went to the people. And God knew that. That's why I think a successful minister gets his point across. I like what Brother Claude said. He said, if a minister gets up and preaches and you're more confused when he gets out of the pulpit than you were before, he doesn't have a ministry. I'm sorry, that was the man, not God. Because God is not the author of confusion. If a man gets up and preaches a sermon and people are like, where did that come from? And we've had it happen. Then that's not a ministry. That's not a, to me that, you know, and you know what? I don't attribute that just to having a bad day either. Now, if you got a ministry, it may be a fault that I have, but I'm not nervous when I talk to people. I know I can get a point across. May not get but just one point to one person, but I know I can get a point across to somebody and try to take, and that's what Brother Dale's always done. He's tried to take the confusion that's in the message and show you. Because you got preachers that have their favorite quotes and that's all they quote. They quote that same quote because that's all they see and it's like they did on the Daniel 70 weeks. Some of the brothers that spoke never used the Daniel 70 weeks at all to make any quotes. They always use quotes outside of Daniel 70 weeks book. And I just got up and asked him, I said, look, did he not preach three sermons out of this? You know, this is three sermons that the prophet preached. Are they not any good anymore? I said, I got a Volvo that I drive. I said, now, I wouldn't go look for a Chevrolet truck book to see what was wrong with my Volvo. I'd go get the Volvo book, right? I mean, why would you look in the Chevrolet book and go, man, I don't know what in the world's wrong with my Volvo? Well, that's what the ministers are doing. They do it to skew their message to their side. But somebody like Brother Dale and the ministry here, we take the same quotes and bring them together. To me, that's what I like. You take a quote that seems, you hear what I said? I said seems contrary. And the ones that everybody quotes that are not contrary, that don't seem contrary, but if you can bring them together, because look, if not, you've got the same spirit that brother's got up in Ohio that says Brother Ram was wrong here and right here. You see what that's caused? There's another brother, Brother Charlie McDonald. I didn't meet him. I met his son. He's been in Miami for years. You know Brother Charlie McDonald? Turned the message down. Him and his wife's gone out in the world. They've turned the message down. He's hooked up with that Lance LaRue up in Canada. This is what Brother Ernie told me last night. And they have just denounced the whole message. Been a message 30 years, preaching. Got a church. Yes, sir. That's what he said last night. Turned it down. Said the message was wrong. Brother Brown, they're trying. They come on that program that, what's the old song leader, Brother Bissell? Rod Bergen. He's had another one of his revelations. And he had them on the other night showing how Brother Branham was how he wasn't false, but that he was a liar. When you turn the truth down, people, they ain't but one thing for you. And that's to go